Scripture for today is from Luke chapter 24, verses 1 to 8. Put on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went unto the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. As they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise." And they remember these words. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated.
Good morning, church. So good to be with you this morning, worshiping our Lord together, especially on this Easter Sunday where we, you know, celebrate Jesus, his resurrection. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. And that truth that Jesus is alive, that changes everything about the story. Today's sermon title is The Rest of the Story. There is nothing quite as unsatisfying as a story that's left incomplete. There is the story, and then there is the rest of the story. When I was dating my wife, Jessica, one of the interesting things that I learned about her was that when she watches a drama or a TV show, she never watches the very last episode. Do you know who does that? And I asked her why. Like, why? Why do you do that? And she said, "I just don't want it to end, right? Because the show is so good, right? Like, I just hope that it continues on." And I remember saying to her, "Wow, Jessica, that is so unsatisfying. I can't believe you. Like, who does that? I mean, it leaves you wanting more, wanting to know how it ends, because you're left with questions and you don't know the ending." I once heard a story from the 80s. It was about a couple who sent their son a message at Easter. And this was done through Western Union. For those of you who don't know what kind of service they provided back then, they provided a service that let you send money or messages across the country, kind of like hard copy text message before email existed. And the message the parents sent to their son was simple. And it goes like this: "Dear son, we love you so much, mom and dad." Simple, loving, reassuring message, right? But somehow, Western Union messed up. And the message he actually received said this instead: "Dear son, we love you so much. Mom is dead. Mother is dead." Can you imagine reading that? How terrified, confused, and heartbroken he must have felt. And then the parents, when they realized what had happened, the shock, the anguish that they must have gone through, they actually sued Western Union for a lot of money for emotional distress. And that's how the story got widely known. But what I'm trying to say is that that moment of despair, that overwhelming shock, isn't so much different from what the disciples felt from Good Friday through Easter morning. Their hope, their dreams, Everything that they had stacked on Jesus seemed to be gone. He was dead. The cross was the end. But then came the rest of the story. Just as the son who received the wrong message eventually found out that his mother was still alive and well, Easter morning brought the glorious revelation that Christ is alive. Heartache turned to joy, despair turned to hope, and death could not hold them. That is the power of the resurrection. And that is the rest of the story. It is the story that has changed the world forever. The woman went early in the morning to the tomb to anoint the body of Jesus with the spices that they had prepared. And when they got there, when they arrived, they found the stone rolled away, tomb empty. They were told by an angel that Christ was alive. And the question from them was, why? Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. Don't you remember? The Good Friday gloom almost made some of the followers probably give up. But Easter's joyous news saved the day and has saved all of us who have placed our hope, our faith, and our trust and confidence in Jesus Christ. There was once a famous epic battle called the Battle of Waterloo. Maybe some of you heard of this before. It was between Napoleon's French forces and the English Duke of Wellington. Some of the English side were watching the battle from a distance, and they were looking for some sign of how things were going. But because of the fog, the smoke, the distance, it was hard to see clearly. The visibility was very poor. Then finally, a signal was flashed to the British, and it said this: Wellington defeated. And as soon as they saw the sign, they were filled with disappointment and sadness. Why? Because their leader, their champion, their hero, they had been defeated by Napoleon. But then, suddenly, the clouds and fog, lifted, and they were able to see the rest of the message, where it said, Wellington defeated the French. That was the rest of the story. And just like that, disappointment turned into joy when they finally understood the full message. But when we come to the disciples, we see a little different, something that is a little different. They had already heard the rest of the story. They didn't receive a wrong message. They had already been told the truth by Jesus. But in that moment, during the shock and sorrow of Good Friday, and even in the confusion of that Easter morning, they simply couldn't remember. And this is what the angel is reminding them. Verse 7 in our passage today, the angel says, "Don't you remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day rise again?" And when they were reminded by the angel, something clicked. They're like, that's right. That's right. That's what Jesus said. I remember now. Everything makes sense. That's how it all connects. You see, it wasn't the story that had changed. It wasn't that their future was uncertain. The problem wasn't the story, but the problem was that they had forgotten it. God had already made it clear, but they just couldn't remember it. See, God already knew. And God knows all things, right? From the beginning to end, He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the first and last. Jesus had already given them a preview of the story. Like, He didn't leave them in the dark. Like, He revealed what was to come. He told the disciples what's going to happen. And in many ways, the same is true for us today. See, one of the things we constantly need to do is to remember. To remember. Remember who Christ is, and to remember what he has done for us. And that's part of the, you know, reason why we're doing communion again this morning, even though we just did it 2 days ago on Good Friday. It's actually quite funny because one of the members came up to me this morning before the service and asked, "We're doing communion again this morning? I thought we just did it 2 days ago." And I said, "Well, it's Easter Sunday, and today happens to be the first Sunday of the month, and so yes, we are. But more importantly, we do this. Why? Because Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Every time we take this bread and the cup, we're reminded again and again of what Christ done for us. And we need that reminder so that we don't forget. Because when we forget, we begin to rely on only what we can see, only what we can feel, only what we experience in that moment. And that's where the problem begins. We often say, experience is everything, right? Experience beats everything. And in many ways, that's true, right? Experience is valuable, it is very important, but it's not everything. Because even our experiences can sometimes deceive us. We just don't see the full picture. We don't see the beginning, the middle, the end. We're like people standing in front of a few trees who are unable to see the whole forest. But God sees the whole story from beginning to end. And what we need is someone to show us the rest of the story, the whole story, the full story. And that person is the risen Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Brothers and sisters, the woman at the tomb finally remembered, right? And when they remembered, it changed everything. It changed their perspective, the outlook. It just changed their entire understanding of what had just taken place. Because now they saw it clearly. They remembered the rest of the story. Church, the good things in our lives may feel like they're being crucified at times, and evil may seem flourishing, but in the providence of God, the third day, the resurrection day, has come in the past, and it will come again in the future. And that is the promise of God, that if we share in his son's death, we will also share in his son's resurrection and walk in new life. The last victory will be won by Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 26 says, "The last enemy to be destroyed is death." That is our greatest enemy. That is the worst enemy. And that is our final enemy. But Jesus has already defeated it. Through his death and resurrection, through the cross, Jesus has defeated sin and the death. He has secured the victory for us. Amen? Amen. So take courage, church. Take courage, because this is Easter faith. This is Easter faith, a faith that tells us that death is not the end. A faith that tells us that all of our sins have been washed away through the cleansing blood of Jesus shed on a cross for us. A faith that tells us that we're sustained in life by the grace of Jesus Christ, every step of the way, all the way to the end. And when we come to the end, what do we find? We find eternal life. Eternal life. Christ died and Christ rose again. And now he is living and interceding for you and me in the throne room of heaven. Church, if there was a moment where Jesus no longer lived, even for a second, do you know what that would mean for us? We would have no hope. We would fade away. We would disintegrate. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then we have no hope at all whatsoever. If he's not living right now, then our faith is in vain. We're just wasting our time. But he is living right now. He is alive for you and for me. Remember when I told you in the beginning about my wife, Jessica, how she doesn't watch the last episode of drama? If you never watch the ending, you never see how the story is resolved. And church, that's exactly what it's like when we stop at the cross and don't go to the resurrection. Without the resurrection, the story is incomplete. But we're not left with an unfinished story. Because the tomb is empty, because Christ is risen. Just last week, last Thursday, after a quick shower of rain, we found a little snail on our patio where we were just hanging out as a family. And my kids were so excited because they haven't been going outside for a while. And it was Arlene's first time seeing the snail. We found a snail, and it was her first time seeing the snail, the first time in her life. Like, she's two, she's turning two this month, actually, if you don't know her. So imagine how cool it was for them, right? They were screaming and just thrilled to see just a snail. And I don't know why, but Arlene, like, she was, you know, as she's screaming, like, she's like pointing, and it's like, beep, 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 beep. So they actually gave the snail a name. It's Peepee. And because they loved watching the snail, we decided to move the snail into a clear box so that they could see the snail inside of our home. But then the thing is, the snail wasn't moving at all, right? Hours passed, even a full day, and it looked completely lifeless. And Abe was like, Mom, you know, is a snail dead? It's not moving. Dad, why isn't it moving? You know, why? Like, with this frustration, right? But because we didn't want to ruin his, like, innocent childhood memory, like, we said, oh, you know, it's just sleeping. Maybe it's taking a nap or something. But then on Saturday morning, my son came running in, shouting. I was sleeping in, right? I was still sleeping, and he's like, Appa, Appa, like, Dad, Dad, wake up, it's alive, it's moving, Bippy's alive. So I couldn't believe that too, and so I, like, followed him to where the snail was, and, like, I was just, you know, rubbing my eyes and trying to wake up because I was still half asleep. And sure enough, it was alive. It was alive. Here's this photo of him in that joyful moment. Turns out, Jessica had given a little water and it started to move from then on. I'm like, seeing that overwhelming joy, right, and excitement, I thought to myself, wow, if a small thing like that can bring that much excitement, that much joy, how much more should we rejoice that Jesus Christ is alive? Not just moving, but risen. Not just alive for a moment, but alive forevermore. The question that I want to ask all of us this morning, church, is, do you believe this? Do you believe this? Do you believe that Jesus is alive? That is the question Jesus asked Martha in Gospel of John, Chapter 11, 25, 26. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. And then he asks her, do you believe this? Before Jesus raised Lazarus back to life. Church, this is not a question that he asked Martha. I believe this is a question he's asking each and every one of us here in this room. Do you believe? Do you believe that death is not the end? Do you believe that Jesus is alive? Do you believe that in him we have life? Do you believe that we have eternal life in him? Romans 10:9 says If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. Do you believe this? I urge you to believe this. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. Surrender your life story, the rest of the story, to Jesus Christ, and I promise you, you'll never regret it. Happy Easter, church. May the risen Savior be alive and real in you, in your families, your work, your community, wherever God has placed you, because that is the rest of the story. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the hope we have in Jesus. Thank you that through the cross, our sins are forgiven. And through the resurrection, we have new life. God, help us not to forget, but to trust you with our whole hearts, even when we can't see the full picture sometimes in our lives. And so, Lord, would you strengthen our hearts now to live in the confidence of the fact that Christ is risen and that he is victorious. May we remember your grace and continue to have that hope of eternal life. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.